heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. I am so grateful, grateful for so many things. Grateful that there is sun in the sky and that there are rains falling on the fields and that there are a lot of good things going on around us. And I'm hopeful that you are grateful as well, especially if you are amongst those who have been able to make it back to Mass. I know that there are many of you who have partaken in Mass again, and I'm a little bit envious, but of course envy is a sin, and so I wouldn't be that, but I am a bit jealous of you, I guess, which is different than envy, but just jealous that you were able to partake in the Mass. In my rural parish is not yet ready, but we're working on it. We'll get there. And so I'm grateful for you, those of you who have gotten back to Mass. And I'll bet many of you are like me and just thinking, well, I will not take that for granted again, the opportunity to come together for Mass and to receive the body and blood of our Lord. And as we come up this weekend on the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi as we know it, just a wonderful set of readings set out for us again by Holy Mother Church, and so appropriate, especially as some of us still find ourselves, whether we're able to return to Mass or not, some of us find ourselves at home during this time, either because our parish isn't ready to reopen, which is fine. They need to take the time and the efforts to get through and get to the point where they are ready to reopen safely and responsibly, as safely and responsibly as possible. Or perhaps you have underlying health conditions, or you are of an elderly age, and it just wouldn't be prudent at this point to return to Mass. And either way, if you're not at that point of being able to return to Mass, wow, take special stock in our first reading for Corpus Christi, which comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And it's just, it's so appropriate. So it talks about Moses talking to the people, and he's saying, remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Now, here's one way of not interpreting that. One way of not interpreting that, at least not correctly, would be that, there it is, scripture, black and white. Therefore, I am, a spiritual communion is just as good as regular communion. I think any of us who have been Catholic for any length of time, and I've only been Catholic for 10 years, know that that's not the case, that our Lord instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist, a sacrament of his body and blood, which we celebrate this weekend, particularly as the source and summit of our faith. And therefore, we need to partake in that as we are able. Now, we need to partake of it responsibly. We need to partake of it in good conjunction with the rest of the mystical body of Christ. And so again, I'm not in the slightest encouraging those of you who should not go to Mass to go to Mass. But we also need to recognize, as sacramental Christians, as sacramental Catholics, and this was speaking particularly as a convert from Protestantism to Catholicism, this is a huge deal. It's kind of everything wrapped up into one, is that we have been given the sacraments, most particularly the Most Holy Eucharist, to be fed and nourished by the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And yet, to not have that is... It's something to be lamented. It's not the fullness of what it could be. Now, does the Lord make provision in those times? Of course he does. Does he leave us for nothing? Well, that's what our first reading tells us, is of course the Lord does not abandon us in the times of the desert. the times of the suffering, the times of the wandering, the times of the testing. That's what Moses shows us. That's what Jesus, in his time in the desert, in the wilderness, tells us about as well. That even when the times are not as plentiful as they can be, spiritually speaking, our Lord has not abandoned us. Some of you, too, may have in your prayer lives have gone through something similar to a dark night of the senses or a dark night of the soul, wherein it seems like God is far, far away or unresponsive to our needs, but it's actually in those times that he is drawn close to us and is bringing us through a transition period into a deeper level of intimacy with him. And I would hope that this is going to be the fruit for many, many Catholics when they are able to return to Mass, when they are able to receive Holy Communion once again. In fact, if I may, I did a little rewrite of the end of our Deuteronomy reading just to share with you that for those of you who have returned to Mass or those of you when you do get to return to Mass and receive our Lord again, this is maybe a prayer we should add or an instruction from, again, vamping on Moses here. Do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of COVID-19, that place of illness, who guided you through the vast and terrible pandemic with its face masks and social distancing, its isolating and lonely ground, and fed you in the pandemic with spiritual communion, but now feeds you with the bread of life. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Is being able to receive our Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist, under the species of bread and wine. And he will feed us. He will feed us. He never abandons us. All right, so that's my little exhortation for this morning as we come into Corpus Christi weekend here. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we've got a couple of guests who are recent high school grads. Rosa Broadhead and Becca Gerrits are with us to talk about how they're going to carry their faith into college. A little bit later than that, later we're going to speak with Madeline Jennifer Tomashko, who are a Navy ensign and a Gold Star mom, talking about their experience of figuring out the Lord's call there in the military. And then finally, Father Bob Schwartz is going to be with us to talk about the life of a retired priest, but also what spirituality looks like as we get in the latter years of life. So that's what's going on in the Rediscover Hour this morning. And I pray that you have, that it's an edifying show for you. But in order to ensure that to the best of our ability, let's pause here as always, offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so in the promo, we had promised you Mason Anderson and Becca Gerrits. We have Becca with us, but Mason was unable to make it, but we've got someone taking his place. So let me first introduce you to Becca. Becca just graduated from Totina Grace. She is going to be a freshman at St. Norbert's College this fall, and she enjoys she enjoyed the show choir, the campus ministry group at school, and youth group events at her parish. And Rosa Broadhead is also with her, who is also a past student of Totina Grace High School. She's going to be a freshman at Fordham University this fall. And she was in the Kathleen Murphy Scholars Program and the National Honor Society. And she and Becca both received their school's Choral Music Excellence Award. And Rosa also enjoys singing, performing, and spending time with my family. So Becca and Rosa, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Hello.
Oh, great. Yeah, great to have you both with us. Thanks so much. All right, so I'm very excited to hear a little bit kind of on the ground. We've seen a lot on social media, and those of us who have children who are graduating from high school, we know that this was a quite different year in terms of graduation. So, Becca, let me start with you. What was it like being coming to the end of your high school career in the midst of a pandemic?
I mean, for me, it was sad to think about everything I was missing, like prom, and we had our last choir concert. We couldn't do the way we normally do it. But it also gave me a chance to discover more about myself and to focus on prayer. I started praying the Rosary daily, and that helped me kind of discover what was important in my life and to value what I could miss out on in the future because everything could change so quickly. But I think I really just discovered more about myself and more about what I value as a person.
Very good. So it was a very much a learning situation for you, which is always a good thing for any of us, but maybe most especially when we're in our younger years. Rosa, let me ask you the same question. What was it like for you coming to the end of your high school career in a pandemic?
I think it was definitely a sad time just because of, as Becca said, we got a lot of things that normal people get to have like at the end of their senior year. And so I think that missing those definitely opened up a huge time of like reflection for me personally, just because I had very little to do and I'm used to being like super busy all the time. So I think that it just gave me a space to reflect upon like how I am living my life and like how I can value the things in the future, as Becca said, that that I'll be able to have, especially like next year. And for me personally, for one of my classes, we had to practice like a whole bunch of new prayers, and so that was like a really good opportunity for me to, I feel like, grow like spiritually. Mm-hmm. So that was very helpful, and
Yeah, good. Well, I'm grateful that for both of you, it's been a time of growth and learning and reflection, and that's really good to hear. Becca, let me go back to you. Can you share a little bit about your own faith journey, kind of how it's matured over your life, and specifically what you're looking forward to in your faith journey as you start a new chapter this coming fall?
Yeah, of course. So I go to St. Raphael Parish in Crystal, and it's a very active parish, and it's always been. It's been very active with the middle schoolers that go to the school and then involving high schoolers. And so I started being active when I was in fifth grade, and I had two older siblings who were the high school leaders that were looked up to by all the younger kids and stuff like that. And it was in fifth grade when I was at Annette Lifeline when I decided, like, this is the place where I need to spend my time. Like, and it became one of my safe havens throughout high school, throughout junior high. I became a confirmation teacher the year after I got out. I started helping and assisting in classes. It really became the place where I decided that faith was easily one of the most important things, if not the most important thing in my life, because it became my foundation where if I was having a bad day, I could go to adoration. I could pray in my room. I could have those discussions with God that I couldn't have with other people. And it was really easy because I had great youth ministers. My dad taught religion class at St. Raphael Middle School. And so I had amazing adults in my life who were leaders for me. And I hope I'm a good high school leader to the junior hires so that they can continue in their faith journey as well.
I think it's great that you're doing that. I mean, it's something that we all should learn over the course of our faith life. I'm glad you're learning it young that, part of this, in fact, a significant part of our walk with the Lord is helping others in their walks with the Lord as well. So I'm so grateful that you're helping out that way at your parish. Rosa, let me ask you same kind of question. Where can you describe your faith journey a bit for us and where it's come to up to this point?
Yeah, I think that my story is definitely a little bit different than Becca's because my family was always active in our church growing up. We went to Lumen Christi in St. Paul. And I think that it took me a little bit longer to, like, get to the place that I am right now. I think that it took till, I want to say, like, high school before I really started to, like really desire this relationship and my spiritual life to grow. And I think that was all due to the like peer role models that I was able to have at high school who I wasn't really exposed to like in the middle school or like when I was younger. And so because I was able to see these people my age who were confident and grounded in their spiritual lives and desired this relationship with God, it really inspired me and made me want to be able to grow in that way also. So I think that due to that, I was able to grow in my own faith life. And then senior year, I joined campus ministry, and it's just been really good. And I feel like I've just been taking it step by step and trying to just grow and learn as much as I can. And it's been going really well.
That's great to hear. And yes, step by step is the way we all have to do it, right? That's the only way of going about. There's very, very few times are there places of just some rapid spiritual growth. We generally walk step by step with the Lord, so that's great. Rosa, let me stick with you, actually, for the first answer of this next question. Have you had any particular resources along your faith journey that have been helpful to you, whether it be people or online resources, books, articles, podcasts, anything like that, that have helped you in your faith journey?
Yeah, I think that a couple of my friends, Becca included, would definitely be some of my resources, because I really love having conversations with people and like learning about like why they think the way they think. So I think that having conversations with them and like being able to like join them in like certain activities has been like super helpful. And then my mom has also been like a great resource, because she studied theology in college. And so like,
nice.
I've been able to kind of like use her as like a role model. And if I have any questions or want to try something new, she's always like down to try stuff with me. And then in terms of other resources, I think that our campus ministry office at our school has been a really good resource for me, just because it's more adults who have experienced like a longer faith journey, and I think that that is really important. And then just recently, I've been using a couple apps that are like prayer apps or like the Bible app, and one of them is called, I think, Bela Daily, and it's like prayer and like meditation, all based on like St. John Baptist de La Salle. And so I've been finding that really interesting and very, very helpful.
Very nice. Okay, very good. Becca, how about you? Any resources that have helped you along your faith journey?
Yeah, like Rosa, I've looked to adults in my youth ministry group to help ask questions so I'm better educated. And I've also been able to use like social media by following like Jason Everett, Sarah Swofford, Jackie Francis, I think I also follow. So having those social media influencers who are promoting Christian Catholic ways and who are educating people through social media. And there's also, I'm a part of like a women's faith Facebook group chat for like the Twin Cities. And so, I mean, I think just having like social media, which I use every day, and just making it part of the routine that I see it like on my feed, really helps me to put the education daily. As well as with Rosa, I've got an app that just sends like me like a Bible verse every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep the biblical words in my head, to make sure that it's not just, so I have like God's actual words with me daily.
Right. Yeah, very important, very important. Becca, let me ask you, so as you look down the road now at this fall, well, first of all, how'd you come to choose St. Norbert's as your college?
Well, I love the Wisconsin area. My brother went to college there, so I was familiar with the area. So I kind of like decided I want to go to Wisconsin. And I want to go into music education as my major, and St. Norbert has a phenomenal music education program, as well as several other colleges in the area. So I picked out all the music education programs that are great in Wisconsin. And then it really came down to, okay, what can help me further my faith as well? And St. Norbert has an abbey that's near the campus. They have the St. Joseph Shrine that's also there. They have an amazing Emmaus Center, which is for the kids to grow in their faith and to help each other grow in their faith. So it really came down to what college I thought could help me grow closer to Jesus with my peers.
Right. Wow. Okay. That's amazing. And that's amazing that you were taking that into consideration. And just so people know, I did not prompt Becca to say that she loved Wisconsin. That's just what she, those are her words. She said it, not me. Yeah. Our regular listeners know that I'm from Wisconsin. I'm currently living in Wisconsin and was born and raised in Wisconsin. Yes. So anyway, well, Becca, let me follow up then. As you go into St. Norbert's, and you already started bumping up against this a little bit with your previous answer, but what do you anticipate in terms of faith life there? Are there things that you will intentionally do or seek out to make sure that your faith stays strong and continues to grow as an incoming freshman?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, they have the Emmaus Center. I applied for a job actually for working in the Emmaus Center, and I got it. So in my dorm, me and two other girls would be like in charge of doing faith activities weekly. And so that alone will help me connect with people who care about their faith and want to grow in it. And they also have a phenomenal church, and it's beautiful and gorgeous, and I can't wait to go to Mass there and experience all of that. And so, I mean, just staying dedicated and finding friends who are just as dedicated or desire to be just as dedicated and just growing together.
Yeah, that means a lot. Keeping your community close, or your closest community, making sure there are people who are close to the Lord as well. Rosa, what about you? As you go off to Fordham this year, any plans that you have in terms of helping your faith to stay strong and to continue to grow?
Yeah, I think that when in choosing my college, obviously a lot of factors went into it, but definitely a place where I could grow in my faith was like pretty much really high on the list, because like I've just been really enjoying the journey so far and I just want to continue it. And so I think that I would definitely be interested in joining like the campus ministry group that I know is going to be on campus, and going to Mass. I really like to sing, so I would probably want to do some sort of like singing at Mass or being like the choir for Mass. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah.
And then I also would want to do like mission trips and like service that I know there is an abundance of in New York. So I'm super excited to like have a bunch of opportunities to like go to different places and learn about all of that.
Right.
And also to experience like a bunch of people with a bunch of different faith backgrounds, because I just think it's really interesting and very helpful for me personally to be able to have conversation and to be able to learn and grow from those conversations as well.
Great answers. Yeah, thank you. And I really appreciate both of you and your honesty and your humility about these things. We've only got just a couple seconds remaining, but I just wanted to ask you both just one word of advice you would give to young people who may be struggling with their faith. Just one quick word of advice. What should they do if they're struggling with faith? Becca, let's start with you.
I'd say never give up and ask a lot of questions. But there's never be scared of growing.
Right. Love it. Yep. And ask a lot of questions. Never a bad question. Right. Very good. How about you, Rosa?
I would definitely have to echo that and say find some resources that you trust and that you feel comfortable and you can be able to grow, and you can, like I said, ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. Great advice. Thank you so much. And thank you for being with us on the Rediscover Hour. Rosa Broadhead, Becca Gerrards, we're so grateful that you joined us today, and may God bless you as you begin your college careers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye for now. All right. So that's great to hear from the younger crowd. And it's great to pray for them and pray for all the people who are going off, all the students who are going off to college this year. It is tough. It's a place where we need to seek out resources for our faith to grow. All right. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we've got the Tom Oshkos with us, Madeline and Jennifer, talking about, well, God's leading into the military. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safemoney. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. So glad you could join us. Joining us now, Madeline and Jennifer Tomasko. Madeline's an ensign in the U.S. Navy. She just graduated from Loyola University in Chicago with a bachelor's in nursing, and she's studying for her license exam. She has three little brothers and a sister, and her mom, Jennifer, is with us. She serves part-time at Providence Academy and full-time at home, raising her children. She's served as a counselor for Rachel's Vineyard and as a volunteer coordinator for Cana Family Institute, and she is the mom of five. So, Madeline and Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So grateful that you both could be with us. All right, so Madeline, I want to start with you. So there might be a lot of people out there. We just talked to two young ladies who are off to college this year, and you know, we're always in the business of discerning God's call for us and discerning God's will for our life. But specifically, some of the younger folks especially are considering military service. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how God's call factored into your decision to enter the U.S. Navy?
Yeah, so kind of looking back now that I'm graduating, I think it was kind of in the little ways that people talk about the Holy Spirit working throughout your life. And I think it was through sports I kind of had that like competitive drive that made me look military. And then as I was looking at graduating high school, I think I just looked at all my options and kind of thought, hey, this one would challenge me the most, and I'm really interested in medicine. And then put all my eggs in that basket and prayed that if that was God's will for me, that he'd give it to me. And then since then, it's kind of just happened.
Okay.
And I've just kind of like taken the opportunities that he's given me.
Well, that's an important step, is to take the opportunities that God gives you, without a doubt. Jennifer, let me ask you, as you heard that Madeline was starting to consider entering the military, what was going on in your heart and your mind and your spirit?
It was a journey. It certainly wasn't anything that was on my radar. I always remember when she came home, it was the summer before her senior year, and she said, "Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to do the Navy. I'm going to go for this nurse option scholarship." She showed us this video of the USNS Mercy Comfort Ships and said, that's where I'm going to be. And I remember thinking, okay, this is our child who has incredible determination, tenacity, grit. And I knew right then that this was going to be a very different journey. This was a calling, a vocation for her, and a sacrifice for all of us as, you know, as a mother, as a father, for her siblings. And but it was a sacrifice that was worth giving. And I just was always reminded that our children are a gift given to us, and then we need to give them back. And we always told our children that whatever vocation you choose, you be sure that you're glorifying God in what you do. And this was definitely no accident. It definitely was there for a reason that she was being called to this journey.
Absolutely. Let me just throw in there that everybody is listening to the Rediscover Hour program of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis on Relevant Radio 1330, WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul. All right. Well, Madeline, back to you for a second. So what role has your faith played in the military, and how present is faith in the military as you've experienced it?
Yeah, I don't know if I can really speak to how present it is in the military right now, just because I'm kind of just starting this new journey in my life. But so far, I mean, faith is the only reason I'm here. And it's like that constant that you kind of need when everything else is changing, and I think especially in military life. things are always changing, and it's just kind of something you get used to. So having Mass be the same everywhere in the world is huge, and getting the same graces no matter where I am, no matter what time it is like the biggest thing. I can always pick up a book. There's a catechism everywhere. I think those like little things that have such a constant has been huge in my life, and is like the only reason that I can keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, it's such a gift, and I love that you pointed out that Mass is the same everywhere, and that's a real gift. Let me tell you, to be able to go anywhere and know that Mass will be the same. Yeah, Jennifer, back to you for a moment. So, how have you and your family been led to pray for Madeline as she's off? And specifically, I'm wondering if there's any ways that you're encouraging your other kids to pray for her.
We always have had the rosary as a tool in our family. That's a tradition we've established. And we would use our rosary as our weapon and pray for her safety and her vocation in the military. You know, being in the military for her now, we are used to her not being home, and she lives a very different kind of life as far as being away. And you know, we always are asking our children to pray for her safety and for her clarity and her resolve.
Yeah, I very important, and I can imagine that. Yeah, in the midst of all that, there's plenty of things to pray for. Madeline, let me ask you: are things that are specifically on your mind at this point in your this early point in your military career, or at least your military tenure? Anyway, what's on your spirit, on your soul, and what would you like prayer for?
So right now, I think I would really like everyone to pray for all the nursing students graduating. Because kind of going through that last semester of senior year with the pandemic, kind of being like, oh, this is what we got into nursing for. And then now a lot of us can't even test because centers are closed. So just prayers for them, because they're all studying kind of with no test date in sight. That's definitely hard to do every day. So I would just ask everyone to pray for nursing students who just graduated and are waiting to be like out on the front lines against this pandemic.
Right. And lay out for us a little bit too, Madeline, about specifically what does your path look like for, say, the next few months to the next couple years?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be testing in hopefully the next month, and then I'll head out to my first duty station and probably start off on like a med-surg floor, and then I'm hoping to get deployed and just take advantage of all the opportunities that the Navy has as far as getting on the Comfort or the Mercy. Going anywhere, deploying with the Marines. I'm really open to all of that and just kind of using the gifts that God's given me and kind of send them forward.
What does life look like on one of those Mercy Comfort ships?
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm guessing that it's kind of weird because you're trying to do your medical work, but at the same time, it's a ship. So right. There's going to be big Navy stuff going on around you. So I bet it's pretty chaotic, and I bet you really have to be very focused, especially if you're there for medical reasons, to, you know, make sure you're doing your job. But that's kind of what I would guess it would really look like there.
And this is kind of just an entry-level question here. I'm sorry, I just don't know. But are these ships deployed all around the world?
Yeah, they are. For kind of natural disasters, everything like that, hurricanes, tsunamis, a lot of times will get deployed. So it's a lot of humanitarian work.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Very good. Jennifer, let me come back to you and ask, well, of course, we have yet to see how everything is going to unfold for Madeline, but do you or your husband, have you had any active duty in the military?
Yes. Well, my husband was in the Navy. He was enlisted during peacetime, and he was a petty officer. So he did have some experience. He was on a ship, and that would, you know, so he is familiar with some of the experiences that she has had, although Madeline's experience will be different in that she'll be at Naval Hospitals primarily, throughout the world, and that's unique as well.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And are you thinking that would you be open to God calling other members of your family into military service as well?
If that is their calling, absolutely. They pray and discern about it. Like I said, each of our children are our gifts, and we pray continually for their future calling. And they'll know. And we knew this was for Madeline. It was very clear, and I have complete trust that Christ will center them where he most desires them to do his work. And with that, we have great peace. We have great peace with Madeline. Even most of the time, we didn't know where she was in a lot of her stations. And that was a blessing in a way, because we just knew to pray for her and her safety. And it wasn't until she would get back onto common soil that we would hear of her experiences. And then the anxiety would come up a little bit in my heart. But again, I just continually would surrender her to our Blessed Mother's feet, because that's all I could do as a mother, and we just trusted. So yeah, I trust that our Lord will graciously guide each of our children, and if military is their calling, then we will obey.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It can't necessarily be easy, but it would be something that, yes, I appreciate the strength of your faith to say that, well, if that's where the Lord is calling them, then that's what they will do. A couple words of advice I'd like to get from each of you before we let you go. Madeline, first of all, for other young people who are kind of in a similar situation as I kind of started with, that are wrestling, maybe the military is something I should consider. What would you suggest? I mean, of course, prayer, but any things that they can do in terms of research or preparation for a possibility of joining the military, anything that you would suggest for them?
Yeah, so like you said, first of all, pray about it. And second, I would say to look to a mentor or someone who knows anything. There's so much internet access now. You know, you can go on there and look up stuff. Look it up, see if you like it, and then after that, I would just go with your gut. At that point, I remember doing my research, and I didn't really know anyone in the military besides my dad, and so I just kind of went with that gut feeling, and if you have that gut feeling and you have that drive and tenacity, then just go for it, because if worse comes to worse, when you're in college and you're doing this, you can drop out. So if you decide it's not for you, you can drop out, but I would say if you have that feeling, just go for it and go 100%. And to see what happens.
Right. I go forward boldly. I like that. All right. Jennifer, what about you for parents who have children who are considering the military? Specifically, anything that they should know, anything that they should specifically pray for, anything that they can do in terms to do research and to become more familiar with what their child's service in the military might look like?
Just to reiterate what Madeline was saying, you can talk with recruiters, your schools bring in all the different military recruiters to talk with. Talk to their parents. There's Blue Star Mothers organization, there's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. You know, we have so many military serving, and they're great resources for what it's like in that lifestyle. And talk with your child, and I would just say to parents, be not afraid, as you know Saint Pope John Paul II would say, just trust and go and do.
Yeah, absolutely, be not afraid. And you mentioned Blue Star Mothers. Now I had talked about Gold Star Mothers, but that's actually of someone who's lost somebody in military service, if I'm correct there. Blue Star Mothers is somebody who's either actively serving or has been honorably discharged. Have I got that right?
Yes, that's right.
And so you are a Blue Star Mother. You haven't lost a child, I assume, in military service.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to clear that up. Sorry. Yeah. That was a mistake on my end. But anyway, Madeline and Jennifer, it's been so great to have you on the Rediscover Hour. Madeline, we'll be praying for you as you enter into service, as it really gets going, and for your for your assignment and all the good that God might have you doing in and on, let's hope, a mercy comfort ship somewhere in the world. God bless you both. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You. God bless you.
All right. We will go into our next break. When we come back, we've got Father Bob Schwartz with us. He's going to talk to us about what it's like for a life of retired priest and also about spirituality in aging. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now is Father Bob Schwartz, who's a retired priest of the Archdiocese, living at Carondelet Village, which is a senior residence on the campus of St. Kate's. He is formerly the pastor of Our Lady of Grace in Edina and St. John Newman in Eagan, the director of the Continuing Education of Priests in the Archdiocese, and also the director of Spiritual Formation at the St. Paul Seminary. And he even wrote a book entitled Servant Leaders of the People of God, which supposedly Archbishop Hebda says he was forced to read the book when he was in the seminary. So, Father Schwartz, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
I'm glad to have you with us as well. So, Father, why don't you, first of all, take us through the retirement process for you a little bit. How long ago did you retire, and what were some of the biggest changes for you as you moved from a working priest? Yeah, I know that working or retired priests are still working priests, but a full-time working priest into retirement life.
Well, I was the pastor of Our Lady of Grace. I was almost 73 years old. I'd been there 12 years, so it was a good time. In fact, I moved into the first house. I bought a home in Bloomington, and it was the first home that I've owned or lived in.
Okay.
And along the way, I ended up having back surgery, and things went really, really bad. And I ended up in a wheelchair. So that's where I am now. So I had to sell my little dream home and give up my dog. Mm. And, I was helping out in a number of parishes, and I loved. I was in Rosemont at. I can't remember the name. That's terrible. But I can't remember the name of the parish in Rosemont. People love me for that. St. John the Baptist, I think. Anyway. And I miss parish life very, very, very much. I've been able to learn because of my disability, I think. I worked at Dorothy Day for a while, and we'd set up Mass. And I went there thinking that being in a wheelchair would be a great, great disability. And I learned very soon that working with the poor, the wheelchair gave me some credibility. Some of the staff told me that. They said, you know, you're coming in here as one of them. I said, oh, really? And they said, yes, you're one of the strugglers in the world. Mm. And I think that is true, that in struggling with being disabled, I'm not disabled, I hope, mentally, that I know of anyway. But I've had time to pray and to read, and some profound things have happened in my life. About relationship with God, first of all, I've got a degree in spirituality, and I've taught that done a lot of spiritual direction. But I've learned that when you are in trouble, deep trouble, like pain and being disabled, faith means something very personal and very deep and very different. Mm. And I'm grateful for not the event, but the opportunity that's come for me to really go very personally into my relationship with God in a profound way. That's what it's all about. I think I've been all into all kinds of spirituality. I reflect on the fact that Mother Teresa of Calcutta said that she worried about us that we still did not have a one-to-one relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think I did, but a lot of, then she goes on to say, and if you don't, meditation is only thinking. And I think I was doing a lot of thinking. And that's not bad. I'm a thinker. But it's a heart-to-heart thing. Spirituality is knowing God in the depths of your heart. Hmm. And I think that's the opportunity of old age and retirement. I say that, I think, sort of generally for parents, grandparents, you know, what changes is not having the kind of responsibility, we can enter into that relationship with a freedom to get to know getting to know my siblings better, getting to know my friends better, but listening to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that I've often said to grandparents and parents, that when you're all you need to do is use your kids' space to talk. And say to listen and ask the right questions, but not tell them what they should do because they resent that. But give them the place, a loving place where they can be honest and ask the right questions where they can search for God in their hearts. And that's, I found that is really powerful now in being a retired priest, that I've got the space to be with people. I can say, tell me how you feel, and I can ask the right or appropriate question. And they'll come out of something in themselves. And in the end, we've got to find God in us, God in our soul, God in our being. And not just God in the prayers that we say, even, but deeper, deeper than that.
Wow, profound stuff, and we could, man. So I want to dive into about 1,000 different places that you brought up there. But one of the things that occurred to me as you were speaking, Father, was that I think a lot of people, a lot of retired people that I know, as I kind of indicated before, are busier than they ever have been. They're just not necessarily getting paid for it. But could there be some... maybe some fear involved in that they feel like if they're not busy, then they're not, they might be afraid of being bored. They might be afraid of maybe looking deep within and seeing what they find. But it sounds to me like you're saying that this is an opportunity that God is affording people who may have a little more spare time on their hands. In fact, you said in your bio that you have the leisure to live more deeply these days. So I guess my question is there a fear there that people might be trying to avoid looking deeply into their lives just by keeping busy? And if so, what should they do about it?
Well, I think there's two issues there, and I feel both of them. One of them is, I think in our culture, we need to be useful. And I'm always here looking for ways I can be useful. I shouldn't just be occupying the space. And I think people keep busy. I keep busy partly because I need to feel like I'm doing something important, or I'm just occupying space. The question I would have is, maybe keeping busy isn't a bad idea if we don't get frantic about it, and if we look for deeper opportunities. Mm-hmm. It's just not about busyness. I think older people around here at Crandallet, where I live, a senior residence, the younger people my age very often ask good questions, encouraging questions. And I think I have to learn to do that too, that it is not just about being busy, but it's being saying, what does life mean to you? Can you tell me? And then I can listen. And does God fit into that? What do you think about God? And I'm providing an occasion when people can talk about some things that maybe they're too busy to think about. Mm. Maybe that's the gift of old age.
Mm.
I can be an encourager to think about things in my own life, but also to invite people to ask, what does life mean? Where is life going? Who is God? Are you in touch with God? And not giving them the answers, but giving them the opportunity to look into themselves. So there's a difference in busy work, and I know what you're saying about that. If I just keep physically busy, I won't have to think about things and I'll feel worthwhile.
Right.
But there can be a new kind of busyness that's about relationships and deepening relationships and inviting people to reflect more deeply. And I think that's why grandparents are so important. Many times at funerals, the people that do most crying are the grandkids.
Hmm.
And I always wonder about that, but I think I understand that the grandchildren, grandma and grandpa, listened to them, and mom and dad were too busy. Many times I would guess that that's at least part of the reason, that there's a different kind of relationship that can come with age. It's very powerful. And it is not just about keeping occupied. It's different than being occupied and being meaningfully employed, doing God's work, being the wisdom person that can ask the right questions. But doesn't have to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Am I anywhere where you want?
No, that's great. I'm just enjoying sitting and listening to you speak. Obviously, there's a wisdom and a profundity to your words, and I'm appreciative of that. So thank you for that. We've only got a couple minutes remaining, Father, but a couple of questions just at the end. First of all, do you have any advice for people who may be relatively new to Catholicism and how they might begin to deepen their faith, even if they're young?
Well, I think a period of prayer every day. It's easy to get, anyone that's got an iPhone can do iMissal, and they've got all the readings for Mass, and they're free of charge. I sit for a half an hour with the gospel, and I'm not doing scripture study. I'm asking the Lord to come into my heart, and I'm listening to who this Lord is as I invite him in. But it's moving from the danger is that it's all in our heads, and I do scripture study, which is a good thing to do scripture study. But meeting the Lord face to face and inviting him into my heart is really important.
Mm-hmm.
As I usually say, you got to chew on scripture, but if you don't swallow it, so that it enters into you, then it's just something that you chewed on for a while.
Right. I love that. That's I love that part of the analogy as well. Thank you so much for that. My last question, Father, is just, may we have your blessing, please?
Yes. Loving God, we thank you for your power, your presence, your love in our lives. Help us to experience you more deeply that we may grow as good news for the world in which we live. I ask this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Bob Schwartz, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. Continue to pray for us, if you would, and we will pray for you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all you do.
Mm-hmm.
God bless.
God bless. Yes. All right. So, wow, what a great interview. Thank you, Lord, for all of our retired priests, for all of our retirees, and may you continue to watch out for them all. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, Paul and I, as usual, have all sorts of things that you will likely be interested in. So stay with us.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know, as parishes are starting to reopen, just a reminder to check with your local parish for specific reopening schedules and guidelines. The dispensation from the obligation to attend Sunday Mass continues, and Archbishop Hebda is strongly encouraging those over the age of 65 and others who are especially vulnerable to COVID-19 not to attend Mass. And to stay on top of COVID-19's effects around the Archdiocese, do, as always, go to archspm.org/COVID-19. On that page, you can also find resources of where to view Masses and online and on TV.
And you can catch daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon with Father Rocky, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
Two other ways you can pray specifically in the midst of the pandemic. First, you can commit to daily prayer for healthcare workers. Text ARCHSPM-HEALTHCARE to 55321. Second, take a moment to pray each time a COVID-19 Anointing Corps priest is dispatched to give last rites. To sign up for that, text ARCHSPM-ANOINTING to 55321. For more information on both of these and for online signup, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
And if you're looking for other ways to grow your faith, head over to archspm.org/events, where you can find information on upcoming talks and presentations to be held online. And of course, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization. And enter your email address.
And I feel like we should give a shout out to St. Joseph's in Rosemont. That was, I believe that's the parish that Father Bob Schwartz was trying to think of there. But you know what? That was a great interview, Paul.
Oh, I love Father Bob. He's a gem.
Yeah. Very, very wise and profound words. And I was grateful for the time. Maybe we should have him back on the show at some point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we try to get a good cross-section of age groups that are represented here on the Rediscover Hour, from the young to the not so young. And I think we did a pretty good job today.
I think so. Yeah, you know, I give you a little pat on the head for that.
Oh, well, thank you. Don't you have a T-shirt or something that just says old on it?
That's the one I'm wearing today.
Oh, really? Oh, very nice. Well, so with social distancing, I can't see the wonderful T-shirts that Paul has in his closet, in his wardrobe. Right. Well,
still going to Mass.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and it's working out just beautifully.
Good.
So.
Good.
I look forward to the day when you can return.
Yeah, thank you. I will keep you all posted on that. Thanks for joining us for the Rediscover Hour. Next time, we are going to have Allison Spees back with us for another great Archdiocesan Archive segment. Also, Josh Dennis and Margene Vessel, they both work with Alpha, are going to talk on Alpha's new marriage course. And specifically, Josh works for Alpha for Catholics. And Thomas Kohler on what's happening with West Metro Young Adults. That's coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. Listen in, tune in. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.